Words are powerful things. They can hurt. They can lift up. They can encourage. They can tear down. We need to give attention to the words that we speak so that we can make certain that we are following after those things that are given to us and that we are assisting and helping our brothers and sisters rather than tearing them down. We want to look this evening at the idea of words in regards to what is said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 and 37. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37 is the text that we want to consider as we begin this evening. In verse 36, in fact, let's go back and begin at verse 33. In verse 33, we read, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus here, in speaking to this group, tells them that it is their words that will determine whether they are with Him in the end of time or not. I think that's something that we need to consider and we need to think about. No matter who we are, what we say matters. What we say determines where we will spend eternity. Whether we are helping or hurting, whether we are just speaking mindless and idle words, those things will be called into account on the judgment day, and we will have to answer for how we use the words that we speak. No matter whether we're talking about as we go about in our public activities, or we're even talking about what we do in the privacy of our own homes, each and every one of the things that we speak will be there with us in judgment as to whether they are good or they are bad. We also need to keep in mind not just the eternal consequences, but physical consequences today here on earth. How we talk to others and what we say to others determines how they think of us. So we need to be careful about our words. One of the things that we recognize, certainly, is that there are words that are helpful. And there are words that we ought to be using on a regular basis. We ought to be speaking those things that would build up and strengthen and encourage rather than tear down. We read in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34 just a moment ago, how can those who are evil speak what is good? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks that which is inside our heart. And if we're going to speak words that are helpful and useful to others, then we need to have our hearts filled with the Word of God. We need to recognize the need to consider the Word of God regularly. We've made reference recently, and we'll continue to make reference over and over, to the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Be so filled with the Spirit and with the Word of God and with the attitude of God that you can't help but let it come out in your singing." And I'm paraphrasing Ephesians chapter 5 there, by the way, in case you missed that connection. He told them that they ought to be so filled up with the Word of God that the only thing that can flow out of them is things that are teaching and admonishing unto others. Our hearts ought to be filled with those things that are good. Our selection of words is based upon what we allow to be within us in our heart, and we need to consider that and keep that in mind. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We're going to be held accountable by our friends, those we come in contact with on a regular basis, those that we meet from time to time, regarding how we speak. So we need to make sure that our heart is filled with those things that would lead for us to speak words that are helpful, words that are encouraging, words that are strengthening, so that we can build up rather than tear down. Another thing we consider when we talk about words and consider is there's a lot of idle words. There's a lot of things that we speak and we engage in, a lot of talks that we may get caught up in, and conversations that really don't amount to anything. They're not hurtful, but they're not helping anything either. And to some degree, this is one of the places where I tend to have, I think, some difficulty with keeping myself straight. I think I saw David's head shaking back there. He's probably agreeing that I have a problem with that. Sometimes I get with folks and start talking, and we're really just rambling about things. And we need to be careful. It doesn't mean that we can't speak things that are outside of the scope of teaching Scripture, as long as they're not evil and wicked things. We can talk about sports and the weather. We can talk about music and cars and those sort of things. That's a part of developing relationships with one another and getting to know people. We can even jest back and forth. Oftentimes, when I say oftentimes, I know when the kids were growing up, sometimes I'd make a joke and say, "Well, Daddy, you told a lie." "Well, no, I was joking." And there is the sense of jesting. We need to be careful in that. And I learned to be even more careful when my children are around so that they didn't get the idea that it was okay to tell lies. I'm very careful to make sure that this is in jest, this is, you know, to lighten the mood, things of that nature, and they weren't things that would cause hurt or harm. I hope. Try to keep them from being that way. But there's a lot of things that we can do that just aren't useful at all. We need to be careful that that's not all that we do, though. Idle words. Sometimes those idle words can get us into trouble. We have read and talked about recently how the Apostle Paul warned the preachers, Titus and Timothy, that they need to be careful not to get caught up in those things, definitions of words and genealogies and things of that nature that would detract from the teaching of the truth, because they just lead to trouble and more problems. You know, we've got a lot of things that we use to help our lives. Those vehicles that we came to services in, they're very helpful to us, but they don't do any good for us at all as long as they're just sitting out there in the parking lot. They're idle. They're not being useful. They're still there. They might even be running and using gas from time to time, but they're not accomplishing anything. And we need to be careful that our time is not spent in spinning tails and using words and involved in conversations that are of not fruitful things. Now, Paul carries this just a little bit further in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 when he says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." And even with this text, I think we need to understand that the Apostle Paul is not telling us that the only thing we can say are things that would bring people to the Lord. We need to be careful how we use our words and how we converse back and forth with folks, that we are bringing them good things, most especially more so than delivering bad things or turning them away. We need to be careful how we converse with others, that we are using words and phrases and engaging in conversations with them that will be of benefit to us in drawing them to God and help them to be lifted up even in this world. We need to make sure that we understand the need to use our words. Out of words are of no benefit unless they are words that are spoken that can help us to develop relationships, encourage and engage others, and bring them closer to the opportunity for us to present to them the Word of God. Well, I think that's one of the things that our society has trained us not to be focused on. Everything we do ought to be for the purpose of encouraging others to know God. Everything we say,
ought to be pointed to that.
Yes, we have our times for leisure and our times for relaxation and refreshment. We need to understand that we need to always be about the business of encouraging others to come to the Lord. And that should temper even our mundane conversations that we have with various folks through the week. Of course, we recognize that it's important to consider that there are hurtful words. I suspect that each one of us can look back at some point in our life and we can say, you know, I wish I had never said that. Maybe some of us can look back at several points in our life. Hopefully, we have to go back further than just last week or the week before last. Hopefully, that's some of the things that we've been able to get over and grow and increase in. But words hurt. And sometimes we can hurt people with what we think of as well-meaning words. This is one of the problems that we get into in our social interaction online today. Because of the anonymity there, even though your name is out there and you probably got a profile picture, you probably got some folks that you talk to on the internet that really don't know who you are. And it's easy to get into the urge when you're talking to folks like that of jumping back at them or of tearing down rather than building up. Now, we've heard a lot over the last couple of years about the problem of bullying in our schools and bullying in our employment, places of employment on the job as well. And when I first started hearing that, I used to think, well, you know, we had folks picked on us. We grew up and had people picking on us. There was people I went to school with that I avoided because I knew they were going to just cause trouble. They just wanted to steal my, well, I don't know if they even stole my lunch money, but that's just the kind of person they were. They were going to make trouble for me. And so I tried to stay away from them, even after I got up in high school. And I thought, there's a certain amount of that that's going to go on, and we learn from that. We all remember the phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. We grew up with that, didn't we? And we toughened up because of some of those things. And I thought, well, that's just a part of growing up. But the more I thought about it and considered, with the kind of communication and interaction that we have today, this isn't something that happens on the school playground or maybe in the classroom when the teacher's not looking or in the lunchroom. This is something that happens all the time. Anywhere. Everywhere. And when you're bombarded with things like that over and over and over again and you just can't get away from it at all, I can see where it can hurt. Words can hurt. And we needed to understand that when we were growing up. We need to understand that today, especially as Christians. How we respond to people in our interaction with them can hurt them. We can destroy somebody's confidence if we're not careful how we speak to them. And certainly, when we're in a format in which this can be an ongoing thing by a number of different people and they just never get any relief from it, it's something that's going to be even stronger. And as Christians, I think we need to recognize those situations. We need to try to watch out for those. And when we see that happening, we need to make sure, and we ought to be making sure all the time, we need to make sure that what we do encourages them, not in wrongdoing, but helps them to bear up under that burden. Let them know that there are others that are aware of what's going on and don't think that way. This doesn't ever mean that we can encourage somebody in wrong. But we can speak in a manner that we give that person some strength and some support while discouraging those that are tearing down. And let us never be the ones that are adding to the hurt. You know, this is one of those areas that falls into our adult interactions with the problems of our society as well. I suspect most all of us are pretty much tired of mudslinging political ads. Yet oftentimes we find that the comments that we normal people make in regards back and forth to one another about those sort of things, about those candidates, are just as bad as the mudslinging political ads that we don't want to have. Rather than trying to lift up our candidate, we spend our time tearing down their candidate. Rather than endorsing and giving good reasons for our cause, we seek to destroy the other cause. And I know it may sound like I'm starting to get on my soapbox, but I'm staying off of it very carefully. We need to be careful how we respond, because our words can destroy. They can cause hurt and harm. And they can keep others from wanting to come to us to find salvation through the Word of God. We can speak in such a manner when we are with our friends or with those who are of our cause that people that are on the outside looking in, and maybe even some of our friends that are involved with us, will look and think, well, you know, I really want to learn about how to serve God, but I know that guy's not going to give me what I need to know. Because this thing's everything he has to say is tearing down someone else. We need to be careful of our words. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14, the wise man says, "The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out." You know what I think of when I think of that? When I read that statement and think about it, especially in this context, remember the story of the little Dutch boy that stuck his finger in the dike to keep the water from coming out? Well, I don't always think about that. Sometimes I think about those crawdad holes that I forgot to fill in, that I missed filling in when I was walking the rock ledges down there in the river bottoms. And when I come back around after lunch, I found a hole like this. That's what that proverb is talking about. The beginning of strife is like the letting out of water. You open up just a little bitty hole, maybe. Maybe what you said didn't sound like it was going to be that bad. Maybe the interaction you had wasn't really strife, you didn't think. But it began something that grew and grew and grew, and then it comes to a size that it can't be stopped. We can do that with our words if we're not careful how we respond and how we use them. We can never take back the words that we have said. We can apologize, we can say we're sorry, we can do all sorts of things, but those words will never come back. The effects of those words will linger. We need to be careful. Make sure that we're not using hurtful words, causing strife and difficulty. Any number of families have been destroyed because of just a word or two spoken in anger. In fact, as I was going back over this lesson yesterday and again this afternoon, the song "Angry Words" kept going around and around in my head. It's not odd to have a song going around in my head, but that's the one that kept going around when I was thinking about this especially. We need to be careful, especially when it starts affecting our feelings, what we say. We don't speak out in anger, because we can literally destroy relationships. We can destroy the opportunity that we might have at some later time to convert someone, to convince them to give themselves over to the Lord through the words that we used. And then, of course, there's the obvious, coarse words, cursing, evil and wicked thoughts. Most of us don't have a problem with this, at least not verbally. But it's something we have to be on guard against. Our nation is filled, our society, not our nation, our society, our world is filled with those that don't think twice about using such words. Language that used to be described as sailor language, is used in the high schools today. And nobody says a word about it. We see it used in advertisements. Nobody thinks twice about it. Coarse words are used in our television and movies. You know, it used to be if you had a G rating, you could go and be pretty sure that it was going to be clean. Not anymore. There's all sorts of coarse words involved. I've got some friends that have one of those, it's like VidAngel or something or other that removes the bad words and things like that of movies. And I've seen some of them that they rented movies that were in the G and PG rating, and they were just amazed at the number of the amount of coarse language that was actually in those things. In fact, hadn't really thought about it, but we were at Mom and Dad's a few months ago, and they've got one of those things on their dish receiver. I don't remember what it's called, TV Guardian or something or other like that. And we were watching an old Carol Burnett show, and it kept bleeping. It didn't bleep, it silenced out. Because of the amount was used, and that was back in the 70s, and it's just expanded since then. Cursing is a common thing in this world. But it's not something that we can do. We can't speak with such coarse language. Most of us growing up hear words just as we're going about our daily life today that we would have been ashamed to hear in the presence of our mother, or even our father for that matter. But it's still something we have to watch out for. Coarse words. They are not useful. They're not helpful. Even the swearing that we see is not of great benefit. As Jesus told us, if our yes is yes and our no is no, there's no need for any swearing. We need to give only those things that are useful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12, the verse we have there on the screen, so you also, since you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. And someone, well, what's that got to do with coarse language? We belong to God. We're spiritual Israel. We ought to be better than that. Because we are associated with the Christ. We are His people. We are God's children. We need to be careful of such things. Not just speaking them. We need to be careful of even thinking them in our minds. Because if we allow them to continue in our minds, it's going to be that much easier for us to give in at some point. You know, to use the old illustration, if you hit your thumb with a hammer and you don't yell it out, but you still think it in your head, are you really avoiding those words? The word "ow" is sufficient. Maybe really, really loud with some exclamation points after it, but still. That's sufficient to express such things. We need to be careful of our words. Because we will be held accountable for them. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the scene of the judgment, and we're not going to read those verse 31 through 46. What we want to consider is what Jesus tells us there in Matthew chapter 25 is what's going to be that which we are accountable for. And His emphasis in that particular area is we're accountable for our deeds to others, how we conduct ourselves with our fellow man, whether we help those that are in need, whether we assist the sick and feed the hungry and clothe the naked and all of those things. Visit those that are in need. We're going to be held accountable for those things at judgment. For our charitable deeds, for lack of a better way to express that. But we also recognize from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 that we're going to be held accountable for whether we obeyed the commands of God. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We're going to be held accountable for following or not following the commands of God. Turn with me over to the book of James. In James chapter 3. Because there we find out that we're going to be held accountable, we're going to be held responsible in judgment for what we speak. Beginning in verse 2 of James. Well, we'll go ahead and begin with verse 1 of chapter 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. We put bits in the horse's mouth so that they will obey us. We direct their entire body as well. The ships also, though they are great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. We're going to be judged by the words that we speak. And it's not just those who are teachers that are going to be judged by their words. Everyone will be judged by their words. Each of us. We need to do what we can to ensure that the words that we speak are words that will edify, that will justify us, will help us to remain righteous and be an encouragement to the people that are around us, and will aid in our entering into the eternal rest that awaits those who belong to the Lord. Words are powerful. We read this morning, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as for the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. While our words are not quite as powerful as the Word of God, they do have power. Paul told the Colossian brethren in chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech always be with grace as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. Give close attention to what you say, because it determines, or at least is a determining factor in, your eternal destiny. When we fill our hearts with the Word of God and the wisdom that is found therein, our speech is going to be more likely to keep in that mode of encouraging and building up and strengthening rather than tearing down. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. We need to be careful of our words. James tells us in chapter 1, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We need to remember that, as we're told in Scripture, what we say comes from our hearts. And so we need to fill our hearts with God's Word so that the things that we say are edifying and strengthening rather than tearing down. We need to keep constant guard. Because as James warns us, our tongue, though it is very small, it can cause great and terrible destruction. We need to watch what we say. Our words ought to build up, not tear down. We need to use words and phrases and conversations that will draw others to the Lord rather than turning them away. Be careful of words. Diligent means your heart is seeking. Are you serving the Lord as you are? Having confessed and acted upon that confession and belief and been added to the body of Christ through being buried in baptism and having your sins washed away, rising up out of that watery grave so that you might call upon the Lord as your Savior, are you still living in that way? Or are there things in your life that are amiss that need to be corrected? You find this evening there are things in your life that are not right that need to be set right. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. John has promised us through his epistle in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that if we confess our sins to God,
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. There again, our words to God, can very well determine our eternity. We can assist you in getting